says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. And there's that word received that I like to use when we talk about salvation. I like to use the word receive, although there's several verses that talk about believing. But that receiving is doing something with what Christ did. We can believe that Christ died. Many religious people believe that Christ died, Catholics and Protestants alike. They believe that he died, they believe that he was buried, they believe that he rose again. But it becomes the receiving of Christ and what he did for us personally instead of just a blanket, Christ died for all sins. And as long as you stick with us and our institution and do the things we say, you'll probably make it. I mean, that's religion, right? So I like the idea of that word received, like it's used here, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, those that are saved and born again, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. So let's do in normal fashion here. Let's dissect this verse in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7. All right, so it says rooted and built up in him. So again, these are in him, in Christ. And so it is rooted. That's how we're to walk, right? Our walk is, our walk is what we do for the Lord and how we carry ourselves. And we're supposed to walk before the Lord and we're to walk and to work. And he says to walk in my law and not to walk in the world's ways, but to walk after Christ. Remember, all this we went over. Just two Thursdays ago, all right, which is why I had to go back a page and go, what was I talking about? But we're to walk in the Spirit and to walk in light and to walk circumspectly and to walk to please God and to walk in truth. That's all about how we live our lives for Christ. And we're supposed to walk in this way. We're supposed to walk rooted and build up in him and established in the faith. Turn to Psalm chapter 80. Psalm chapter 80. Again, it's in him. We're to walk in him. Psalm 80. And we're going to start in verse number 8. Psalm 80 and verse 8. Verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it. Thou didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. This idea of root, he says, I brought Israel out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, of course, and he's like, I've planted them, I've placed them in their land, and I've caused this this root in them, this vine out of Egypt, I've brought it, I've planted it, and I've caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. It had some substance. That to be rooted in something is to have some substance. And so it was, he says, I've planted Israel, and I've rooted them in the ground. Of course, after many years of rebellion, what's he do? He plucks them up, and he scatters them abroad. Is what he does, but he is going to place them back in that land. So that idea of God placed them and rooted them down into that ground. Now look in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. You don't have to fear. This is not another lesson on Israel. as Sunday nights, we've been talking about Israel, but Isaiah chapter 11, look in verse 10. Isaiah 11 in verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now this is Christ, and this is specifically Christ at the second advent, where all the world is going to turn, all the world and the Gentiles are going to turn to Christ when he comes back at the second advent and sets up the millennium. And he becomes king of this world, and he sits on a throne, and he rules the rod of iron, all right? But it's Christ that it's talking about, and he's called the root of Jesse. And he's going to be for the people, and the Gentiles are going to seek to him, and his rest is going to be glorious. But that's going to be Christ, all right? He's called the root of Jesse. Look in Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And look in verse 2. Isaiah 53 and verse 2. Verse 1, we'll read it. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. All right, and of course, this is Jesus Christ. We know this from verse 3 starts to really give it away. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. This is Christ. This is Isaiah 53. And so we know this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And it says here that he is a root out of a dry ground. That's what he is. Jesus Christ is a root out of a dry ground. Now turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 now in the New Testament. That's where Luke is, of course. Sometimes you're up here and you say stuff, and I just, there was no need to say that. Maybe someone here forgot for a moment that Luke was in the New Testament, and so I helped you out, but. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 4. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And there went much people. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? All right, so he starts to explain the parable in verse number 11. He says, Now the parable is this. And he's talking to his disciples. He says the parable aloud to everyone, but his disciples come to him separately, and they say, We want to know what this means. And he says, Okay, I'll explain it to you. Verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. All right, so there's multiple levels here of the seed being sown, the word of God going out to those that are lost. So the first one, the devil comes and just takes away the word out of their hearts so that they won't believe and they won't be saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And then there's those which fall among the thorns, are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, as we read this and we understand what the root is and understand that the root is Christ, he said he was going to be a root, we can read this parable and understand that there are most likely in this parable, now you can make spiritual application, okay, but most likely in this parable there are two that don't get saved, and two that get saved, all right? And say, why do we know that? Well, it's that second one that gets a little tricky, right? Because in verse number something, 13, they say, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. I just talked about that word received and that word believe, all right? So they hear the word, and it makes them happy. But it says, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. Now, that's the key. I believe this group here in the parable is not saved because they don't have any root in them. All right, so they hear the good news of the gospel, and they say, oh, Christ died for me. That's amazing. And, of course, we're making application here, right? Oh, that's amazing. That's so good. And they go along with it, and they're excited about it. And then as soon as the first temptation comes along, the first difficult time, they're gone. And they're out. And they're done with it. It didn't mean anything. You know, it's someone that tries to turn over a new leaf. And they do the best they can, but then temptation comes along and they make a mistake, and then they're gone. And so what we see here, this one says there was no root. These have no root. Now, verse 14, and they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. God is expecting fruit. Because this group has a root, it's buried down, they can produce fruit, God expects fruit, but the cares of the world and the riches and the temptations, they come along and they choke it out, so they're fruitless Christians. They're saved, they're born again in type, but they don't bear any fruit whatsoever. And then there's the group that does bear fruit, and that's what God wants. And there's different kinds of bearing fruit. And different levels of bearing fruit. But that's what God wants. He wants us to be able to produce fruit for him. And so when he says these things here about these having these root, there's no root. We see in the parable, he talks about this moisture. In verse number 6, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Well, if you know anything about plants, and I don't claim to be the guy that knows anything about plants, but there's some basic things you can pick up over time is the plants don't get moisture just because you put water on the leaves, right? That's not how they collect moisture. They can sit out in the rain all you want, but they're not gaining any, plants aren't gaining all their moisture through the leaves. They're gaining their moisture how? Through the root system that's in the ground, and the water goes onto the ground and it soaks in to the ground, and the soil holds the moisture in, and the roots draw the moisture out of the soil, and then it waters up, right? And have you ever cut off a limb of a plant or a bush or anything, and you touch it, and it's wet. It's actually wet because of the water being drawn up through the stems and through the vines, and it's actually wet. The outside has bark on it, and there's the leaves, and it doesn't seem like there's really any moisture. But we know it's drawing it from the ground. So he's saying there's no moisture in this one. There's no root that goes into the ground. All right, now if you're saved and born again, we have the root. We're supposed to be attached to that root, which is Jesus Christ. All right, so when we're to live rooted in him, we have to be saved first. There's a lot of people that there's people that have been in church for many, many, many years, and they know a lot of Bible stories. I mean, if you want to play Bible trivia with them, they might be a decent partner. They've learned some things about the Bible. But that doesn't make a person saved because we know some biblical facts. Doesn't make a religious person knows some Bible stories. But they don't have, if they haven't received Jesus Christ, they have no root in him. And so we're to be rooted and grounded in him. Look in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, our life is to be rooted in Christ for salvation, of course. But not only for that, it's to bear fruit in him. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because this is a tree, and it's how is it planted? It's planted by the rivers of water. Now, when you read the Bible, anytime we read the Bible and read the scriptures, we see everything in our worldview, right? We see everything like through the only view that we have. And so when I was a kid and read the Bible and heard the stories, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania and lots of trees. And well, around here, we call them like rolling hills, right? They were mountains technically, but you would just have, and we have a lot of, not soft woods like around here, but mainly hardwoods. And so you have all these trees and things. And so every time I'd be reading the Bible and I'd be reading about a wilderness in my brain, this is pre, we could just see anything we wanted, right? This is, we had to go to the library, and to have a, because we didn't have a set of encyclopedias growing up. So I had to go to the library to look up the encyclopedias, to find, that's what you did. I wrote a paper when I was young on, I don't know how it came about, a science paper on badgers. Well, what did I know about badgers? Well, nothing. Western PA, not known for badgers, okay? And so what did I have to do? Go to the library. You go to the library and you look up the encyclopedia. Badgers, that's a B, so it's in volume 1 or 2. And you get that out and you go to badgers and you're like, well, I can't just copy all this out of the encyclopedia. I don't sound that smart. So what do I need to do? Then you go, I'm just talking now. Then you go to the card catalog. Anybody bear witness here? Most of us in here, all the kids are out of here, right? So there's still some that might question this, but you had to, you go through and you look up badgers and then you find where those books are and you go, to the animal section where they are and then you find the books on badgers and you pull those out. And then if you're like me, you look at the pictures and you read the captions to see what you can learn about badgers in 5 seconds, right? Because, it's the paper, we're not putting a ton of time in it. It's not a thesis or anything. So my mother, if she were hearing this right now, I'd be like, so disappointed in you. Can't believe you did that. Sometimes she learns a lot about my previous life by listening to my messages and hearing stories that she did not know existed. And so you go through and you just read and you glean different parts of things. And so when we read things like this, I'm coming back, right? We're here. We're back now, all right? So when we're here, we get so much rain, you could be a tree planted by a creek or a river, or you could be a tree in the middle of anywhere, and trees are watered here, right? We have a lot. But when you think about to the context of what they're writing to, and David's writing in Israel, and Israel relied on the rainy season for their crops. And the season wasn't 9 months long, right? The rainy season for them was rain came, and if God didn't bring the terminology, the former and latter rains, right? You've seen that in the scriptures? Say, what does that mean? Yeah, our former is October, our latter is June, right? And the rain is in between. But for them, they had rains at different times. And so they relied on that rain for their crops. So when they talk about a tree planted by rivers of water, then that tree was going to be good to go. It was going to bring forth fruit. The leaves weren't withered. Why? Because it had that water source. And it was planted there in that water source. It wasn't dry like it is in much of the Middle East. And so here, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That fruit is connected to what? To the water source, to that root, to how much moisture can be obtained by that. And so you and I, we run across passages like John 15. Turn there, John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. This is Jesus Christ. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire that they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. All right, now this is talking about bearing fruit. This is not talking about salvation, all right? So we have to understand when he's talking about this, he's not talking about being saved. He's talking about bearing fruit. And he's saying, you have to abide in me to bear fruit. Why? Because in the structure of whatever it is that we're talking about here, a vine and branches, we're the branches. We're way out on the end. We're way out on the end. We're just out there hanging out. What are we hoping for? We're hoping to get water. We're hoping to have enough given to us that we can bear some fruit. Right? Because if it doesn't bear fruit, if it's not getting any liquid and then it starts to die, what happens? It happens like any fruit tree, any apple tree that we might have around here. What do you do with the dead branches? You break those off. You get rid of them. You get rid of them. You throw them in the burn pile. Why? Because they're not going to bear any fruit. If anything, they're just stealing nutrients from something that is going to bear fruit. So you just take that off. And of course, there's the whole thing about if it does bear fruit, what happens? You purge it. Right, so the apple tree, what happens? There's the apple tree. The first time this is in Pennsylvania, the first time I ever had experience with apples, and I was picking apples, and then we were pruning apples, or pruning apple trees. The first time I was told what to do, I was like, that makes no sense. So we're just going to take this thing down to like a stump, right? That's what it seemed like to me when I was a kid. We're going to take this apple tree, and we're going to prune this thing down to like nothing? Yeah, don't worry. It'll come back, and it'll come back and bear fruit. And I was like, huh? This is your fruit, not mine. I'm just picking it. You're paying me to do this. You know, like 4 1/4 an hour, you know. That's what you're paying me to do this. And so you prune that way back. But we're just on the end hoping to bear some fruit. But we need to have that source needs to come from the Lord. We are to be rooted in him in our lives. In our walk with him, we are to be rooted in him. We're not to be out doing our own thing. We're to be attached to the Lord. We're to be walking in Christ. We're to be rooted with him so that we have some kind of substance to us. Right? So we're to be rooted in him. And he says it over and over again. He says here in verse number 7, and my words abide in you. My words abide in you. And that thing with the words of Christ and taking those words and being a part of that and putting those words, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What are they're his words. And these words, the words of Christ, and then, of course, the Bible, these words were to be, that's it's how we bear fruit. Christians just get saved and they never grow in the Lord. Sometimes that's a church's fault. They're not teaching and preaching the Word of God. And other times it's the Christian's fault in their efforts or in how much they read the Bible or when they go to church or what they're trying to learn. Or it's their fault that they're not learning anything. And it's just the things of the world and the busyness and the schedule and everything just takes over. And what happens? They're not bearing any fruit. They're not bearing any fruit. They're in Christ. They're saved. They have that solid foundation of Christ, but there's nothing else happening, right? Why? They're not bearing any fruit. Thank God for those that are saved and born again, right? Thank God for that. Thank God that now they have that root of Christ, and when someday the Lord's going to come by, and what's he going to do? It's another typology in the Gospels, the wheat and the tares, And sometimes you can't tell what's what until the fruit, until you start to see some of the fruit. You start to notice what's going on. And so there's going to be, if the rapture happens on a Sunday morning, and of course every time zone is going to be different, right? Just bear with me, okay? If it happens on a Sunday morning in this town, and the rapture happens at 11 o'clock, what's it going to do? It's going to separate the wheat and the tares. It's going to separate those that are saved and born again when he calls up his own. And then there's just a pile of clothes sitting here because we got a glorified body. And you know, flesh and blood cannot inherit. And we're going to get a glorified body. And so whatever's left of us is going to be right where we were. And then in most churches, there's going to be a few sitting there. And in some churches, there's going to be a lot sitting there. And a few taken. Why? Because it depends on that root, depends on Christ. But as far as our walk, again, that's what we're talking about. We need to have a walk in Christ. We need to be rooted. That root is Christ. But we're talking about our walk. Our walk is to be rooted. So how are we to walk? We're to walk in Christ. That's how we're to walk. In Christ. Rooted in him. It says rooted and built up in him. Built up in him. Let's run some references on this. Being built up, 1 Corinthians 3. Let's start in verse number 6. Here is Paul. He's using two different examples here. The first one we just got done talking about, so we're gonna hit it again. He says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Here it is again. He's using this plant, right? He's using this bearing fruit. He's using this plant of planting and watering that needs both. Both of those things are needed. Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. See, now he's changing the illustration here. All right, so husbandry, gardening, plants, not my thing. Right, I don't know a whole lot about it. But the more I read in the scriptures, the more I look at it and I go, I'm going to have to study this. Why? Because there's a lot there. There's a lot in the scriptures about it. And so there's it's the corn of wheat that falls into the ground and except it dies, right? And there's so much in the scriptures. That's why I'm never going to run out of things to preach. It might sound like I do, but I'm never going to run out of things to preach. Why? Because all I need to do is now I have the advantage of getting online and I can just start studying what happens when you put wheat in the ground. And I'm going to get little videos and all kinds of things, right? And then I'm going to sit there and look at that, and then all the spiritual application is going to start to come out of the scriptures. Why? Because God knows. God put he put that in the ground, right? He knows exactly what happens when it has to die. He knows about the animal kingdom and how the animals are. Why? Because he created them. And he says, you know what lost people are like? They're like dogs. You go, what? And you start to study it out, and you go, oh, that makes sense. Why? Because God knows all this, right? So anyway, he's talking about husbandry. He's talking about gardening and those things. And then he switches and says, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, verse 10, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And now you're in my world. Why? Because I worked construction for 20 years. So I'm like, oh, this makes more sense to me. Now I can understand this. He says, we're God's husbandry. We're also God's building. All right? And so he says, verse 11, we'll keep reading. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now this is not, again, this is not soul salvation. This is the judgment seat of Christ for those that are saved and born again. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to be tried for our works and what sort of works they are. These are not tried for our works for salvation. This is tried for our works to see what we have done in our life. What have we done for Christ? What is going to be left over? What is going to last through the fire? What are we going to have to show for our life of Christ? What fruit are we going to have? Why? Because that fruit is going to make it through the fire, and the rest is going to be burnt up. All right? So, but he's talking about this building. So we're supposed to be built up in him. Well, what's the foundation have to be? It has to be Christ. He says there's no other foundation to lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. That's the foundation of everything. As a Christian, we have that foundation. We can look at the world and say, man, the world's fallen apart. And that makes sense, because their foundation is education or money or science or politics or whatever. And their foundation is just crumbling. And, you know, people, and you notice it because things like the election and things like politics, and people can start getting crazy. But I'm not worried about who's in the White House. I like it when my guy wins. Guess I can just say that. Is that legal? Are we allowed to say that? I like it when my guy wins. But it's not the end of the world. The guy that I didn't vote for has won before. It wasn't the end of the world. Why? Because my foundation's Christ. It's not the political system of this country or the world or what the 401k is doing or what my bank account looks like. I like it when there's more money in it. But my foundation is Christ, right? And there's no other foundation than that. So it's Christ. We know this. We should know this. But we're to be built up in him. So that foundation is laid, and we need to build up in Christ. Now, a lot of Christians go out here, they leave the foundation of Christ, and they go out here and they start, you know, playing tiddlywinks on the beach, right? They're out here trying to build sandcastles. And if they're paying attention, they realize the sand's pretty soft right here. And it's pretty hard and it's flat. And that means what? A tide's going to come in and tear things up. But a lot of Christians do that. They go out and they're like, look at a sandcastle I built. And God's not impressed at all. The tide's going to come in and it's going to be gone. It doesn't mean anything. But if we're building on that foundation of Christ, then okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now something's happening. And so that's what we are. We're to be built up. And again, he says, some lay the foundation and someone else builds thereon. He says, and be careful of how we build on it. Right? But he's saying the same thing. Somebody plants, somebody waters. Well, I dug the hole and I put the seed in the ground. Okay, well, if nobody watered it, that doesn't help. And so the person that plants the seed can't take all the glory. Someone had to water it. And the person that watered it is just watering dirt if there's nothing planted. So he's not doing anything. He can't be, well, I'm the one with the hose. Well, you can't brag on that. There needs to be something in the ground. And he says, hey, we're building on this foundation. What happened? What's the plan? The plan is to have a whole bunch of different people that are supposed to be skilled, right? And what do? They all have their part. Well, what was the first thing that happened in this building? Well, there was prep work, but let's just say we're going to start with the foundation, all right? We'll leave out some of the stuff else that had to happen. We're going to lay a foundation down. And we're going to lay the foundation down in concrete. We're going to make it sure, and it's going to be on solid ground, right? We're not going to dig up all the dirt and then put the concrete on it. No, we're going to make sure it's solid, as close to like virgin ground as we can. We're not going to dig up 6 feet of it and then put the dirt back and put a foundation on it. No, we want it to be solid ground. And then we're going to put this foundation, we're going to lay this foundation out. We're going to lay this dirt and this foundation out, and we're going to put the concrete. No, I'm not good with concrete. I mean, especially like a slab like this big. I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. They take wood and they level it off, and then they wait a while, and then they come. I've seen it. I've seen guys do it, but I'm no expert. And then what's going to happen after that? Someone's going to come in and they're going to start putting up a structure. They're going to start putting up walls and put up stuff on the ceiling, and they're going to start getting everything ready. Well, I was the electrician, so what? I had to wait a few steps. I had to wait until all that was up. And then I would come in and do what? Run all the electric. And initially, it just looked like a big rat's nest of stuff everywhere. Whatever, it doesn't make any sense. The plumbers come by and say, can you move your wires? Like, you know, and then the heating and air comes in, and they put in all their stuff. And then they put drywall up, and then it starts to look like something substantial. It looks like a real building now. And what everyone comes in, well, I couldn't say, listen, I'm the most important part of the building. I'm the electric. I couldn't say that. Why? Because, well, I would basically be going out and just throwing a bunch of wire into the dirt and say, see what I did? No, you need a lot. There's a lot of moving parts and pieces, all right? And we're all supposed to be built up in Christ, all right? So many hands and many parts of the building, but we're built up. What is this church doing? I'm the pastor of this church now, right? Brother Bailey was the pastor before that. Brother Modelish, the pastor before that. What's my part? Well, I can't say, well, I'm here now, so I'm the most important. We're just building up. That's what we're doing. We're going forward for Christ. The good foundations that were laid, we leave that and we just build up. We keep building up in Christ. That's the point. Look in Jude 20. Jude verse 20. We are to be rooted and we are to be built up in Christ. Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And this is the same context of what he's saying in Colossians to the church. But here it's very specific. It says, build up yourselves. There's only so much that people can do for you in your walk with Christ. You need to be rooted. You need to build up yourself. Build up in Him. Be built up in Christ. That's you. You have to do it. You have to do it. You can come here and hear me talk every time I'm opening my mouth. But there's things that you have to do in your walk and in your actions and the things that you choose to do. But what are we doing? We're building up ourselves, what, on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Look in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Look in verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Those are probably New Testament prophets. Where the New Testament is built up on the New Testament prophets. Jesus Christ himself being a chief, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You are to be built up. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are in and of yourself supposed to build up yourself in the most holy faith, in your walk with Christ, in Him. Not in what you think about, not building up in religion or what somebody told me about. No, we're to be built up in Him. And to grow and walk as He wants you to grow and as He wants you to walk. So you're built up in Him. But together, as a local church, we make something where we're built up together. We can do something collectively for the Lord. And of course, as the church, as a collective, those that are saved and born again, we all have our part, and we're all built up in moving pieces and parts. Look in 2 Peter. Turn there, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 15. 2 Peter 3:15, in account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're to grow. How are we to grow? We're to be built up. We're to grow. We're to grow in grace. We're to be built up so that we're stable. We should be the opposite of here. He says, those which are unlearned and unstable rest. No, we're to be learned. We're to be learned. Someone needs to teach us some things. And so we're to be taught, we're to be learned, and we are to be stable. What is that? Rooted and built up in Him on the foundation of Christ. There's a certain point in our Christianity when someone shouldn't come along and say, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? And that shouldn't fool you. You shouldn't say, oh, no, I don't know if I have. Maybe I need to run over here and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, and someone comes along and says, yes, but have you kept the commandments? And you're like, which commandments? What do you mean, have I kept the commandments? Well, it's these commandments. You have to keep these. You go to church on Sunday? That's terrible. You need to go to church on Saturday. And there should come a time when you're stable and you're rooted. And someone comes along and says, do you hear about this thing? And you're, uh-oh, what do I do now? I have to run over here to this church so I can do this thing. Then I have to run over here to this other church so I can do this other thing. Then I got to run over here to this other place so I can get in on this other little thing. No, there's a time when we should be rooted. Why? Because we're built up in Him. We're built up in His Word. Look in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, and ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're built up. We're a spiritual house. We're to grow in grace. We're to continue growing for the Lord, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're to grow up in Him. We're not supposed to just be swayed with every little thing that goes by, every little thing we hear about. Well, I heard this preacher on the radio, and he was saying this, and I didn't really understand. Now, it's okay if you don't know. It's okay. People come to me all the time, and it seems like every time someone comes, I have a question. It's probably a stupid question. I'm like, well, it's only stupid if you know the answer. Or you're supposed to know the answer. There's a lot of questions I have about the Bible. And I say, well, I don't know. And someone else would go, what, are you an idiot? I'd say, hey, back off. Yes, I am an idiot. All right, I don't have it all figured out yet. But if there's legitimate Bible questions, but what I'm saying is not being built up. Right? Now, That might be different for all of us. We could go through here and talk about how long we've been saved and how long we've been in a Bible-believing church and how long we've been reading the Bible and trying to grow in the Lord, and we'd find ourselves at all different places, all different levels. And that's what a church is. A church isn't, you should be at this level or just get out. We don't do that, because what level are we going to choose? No, we just, man, let's just enjoy God and what he's done for us, and let's get saved and get other people saved and watch them grow in the Lord. It's exciting to watch new people grow in the Lord. It's exciting for them to say, I don't really understand this part of the Bible. You know what I do? You're reading the Bible. That's amazing. That is great. Ask all the questions you want. Not now, though. But ask all the questions you want, and we'll go through, and we'll talk about it. But that's great news. That's why they're growing and being built up. You know what? We should never grow out of the age where we have Bible questions. I don't care how old we are. We should never grow out of because if you don't have any Bible questions, then I'm like, are they reading the Bible? Because you can't not read the Bible and not have questions. I call up my friends all the time. All right. So, tell me about this thing. Oh, good luck. I don't know about that thing. Why'd I call you? And someone will call me and say, all right, here, I'm kicking around this idea, this thing. Do you know this? Remember this part over here? Yeah, so I'm running this and this other thing and this other verse and running this around. What do you think of that? And why? Because, man, this is a crazy book. This is an awesome book. It's a spiritual book. And it feeds us. And what are we're to be growing up. Acts 20, 32. We'll finish here. Acts 20, 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's, you want to know how simple being a preacher is? In essence, it's these two things. This is my goal. This is every time we get up here, every time we have lessons, every time we talk about things or I preach a message, what is it? It's I commend you to God. All right? I'm not here to run every single aspect of your life. You don't want me to do that? You'd like me less. All right? I'm not here to tell you every single thing that you're supposed to do with your life. I commend you to God. Because if you're following him, and you're listening to him, and you're walking with him, and you're rooted in him, and you're built up in him, your life will change. How do I know? Because he'll tell you to change it. And if you're walking in him and growing in him, then you'll do something about it. I commend you to God. And what else? And to the word of his grace. What do? I commend you to God and to this. And so what's my part? Well, I get up here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Thursday evening, and what do? We open this. We open this and we start talking about this. Why? Because I commend you to God. But that's a pretty short message. All right? But we open up his word and we say, and I commend you to his word. So let's talk about his word. Isn't that what we do when we're here? We talk about it. We open it up and talk about his word. Say, let's look at his word. Let's look what he says in his word. Let's look what he has for us in his word. Let's look at the application of something that he has for us. And so it's to God and to his word. And why? Because it's able to build you up. That's what we're trying to do here. God puts a calling on a man, and he calls a man to go stand behind a pulpit and to preach the word of God, and to teach the word of God, and to uphold the word of God and Jesus Christ for salvation, and commend his people to him and to his word. And then someday, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to be judged with what I did for you. Now, I won't be there at your judgment, and I won't be judged for every decision you've made. but I will be responsible for what I've done with his word, giving it to you. That's why you go hear some preachers or you hear them on the radio or whatever, and they get done and you go, what just happened? And, you know, depending on what it is, you're kind of like queasy inside, like, ugh, that was weird. And why? That is, no thanks. Well, because I'm going to stand before God someday. And yes, we can incorporate stories, but I'm not here just, it's not just story time. Stories are fun. Illustrations are good. They help us to draw things together. But it's not just like comedy time. It's not just time for, I think I just heard a little bit ago that the Pope was talking about when you preach a sermon, he said, you got to keep them engaged. And if you go too long, he said something like 8 minutes. I was like, eight, if the people in your church can only listen for 8 minutes, that's the preacher's problem, not their problem. Yeah, I mean, there is some training to sit still and listen to the word of God. Now, maybe the preacher is so boring, and if you ever heard the Pope talk, I mean, 8 minutes is a long time to hear that guy talk. You're just like, oh, my goodness. You know, but what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be building up. We're supposed to be giving the word. And then what happens? And then you take it, and then I take it. I don't get preached that often, but when Pastor Aaron preaches, I sit over there with my wife. And I say, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? Pastor Nathan Gipp, last Thursday, comes in. I just sit down. Okay, butter and honey. All right. He's talking coffee. Keep moving. You know, it says, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? Why? Because we're supposed to be building up ourselves, rooted in him, building up ourselves in the most holy faith. And then it says established, and we'll get to that next week. But these are things that we're to do. And that's why we come to church. Why? Because it's all part of our building up, and it's all part of our being rooted. And we do all of that to go forward for Christ, because we're going to stand before him one day. And we don't want to be just swayed by every doctrine and every little thing that comes along. We want to be rooted. We want to understand what God has in his truth, the truth of his word. All right, let's take some prayer requests.